This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you if people send you the same generic conversation starters they message everyone else? Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Edit audio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Robin Hopkins, and this is Well Adjusting, where I talk to people about life stuff, but not in an NPR way. It's more like we're at the bar, having cocktails, getting into your business sort of way.
It's giving drunk NPR.
Oh, and producer Steph is here, too.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. I think we all know I am so excited to be here today. We're not just capturing audio, but we're also capturing video for this. Mm-hmm. We're experimenting a little. Anyway, today we're going to be talking friendships and giving support and getting support. And Libby is a listener who reached out to us. And so before we get into the episode, I do have to say, don't forget, we love having listeners reach out. So just hit us at hello@editaud.io. Did I do it right,
yes,
Steph? I did it. Or you can get us on any of the socials. Real Rob Hops.
Edit Audio.
Edit Audio. Just find us. Tell us you have a problem. We'd love to chat with you about it. Anyway, so Libby, you know how we love to start the podcast off. We always love to ask people, what's the reason that you wanted to chat with me and non-credentialed producer Steph? I'm also non-credentialed.
Yeah. So I, over the last few years, have just started to notice this trend in my friendships that I get into. I have lots of very great friendships that feel really good, but occasionally I find that what tends to happen is I have usually a female friend in some big crisis, like a breakup or something, like things are really bad at work. And they lean on me a lot for advice, and sometimes I'm the only person they're willing to talk to about it. And then as that goes on over the course of months or sometimes years, the friendship just starts to feel really, really out of balance. And then things will, even to the point where things, like major things will happen to me, and I am like, hey, hello, I too am a person in this friendship. And they're like, nope, still me. And it's like, it feels really bad when it happens, and then I've tried to sort of redirect and rebalance those, even to the point of being like really direct and really blunt. And that's had some very hurtful consequences. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do I notice this earlier?
Yeah.
And how do I like get out of it when I see it happening? How do I start to say, like, no, like, I also need to take up space in this friendship? Because what I tend to do now is I just like take a step back, and then we just don't. Like,
you do
usually
this,
they
do the slow fade.
I do not a slow fade, but I'm like, I'm just going to take a step back for a little bit. And then they get like pretty mad. And that it's been not pretty a few times. And then those friendships end up kind of trashed.
I have so many questions. First of all, I think this is a really great question, right? I think that, like, in general, we just met, but you seem very chill. You seem very relaxed. You seem very, like, easygoing, which already tells me you might be the type of receptacle that people would be like, she's going to listen to all of my stuff. Like, so I want to know, like, what are the indicators at the beginning, like the folks where it's gone sideways, are they a similar type of personality? And are they most of your friends or—
They're definitely not most of my friends. Fortunately, most of my friendships are in a really good place. But these tend to be like my closer friends, or they, you know, we get close through this process. It's women. I'm in my mid-30s. They're also in their mid-30s. They are all people I don't live in the same city as. So our communication is always like on the phone or on Zoom, or I guess FaceTime.
Are they long-term friendships? Like they're people that you've known for a long time? And does it start in a place and then you feel it getting worse? Or is it always that way right out of the gate and you kind of just go, that's who that person is. That's who Jenny is.
That's a good question. Yeah, it tends to start from like a normal friendship, like a meet through friends friendship or a work friendship oftentimes. And then it's like there's a crisis for them is what sort of marks the beginning of where it goes a little bit out of whack. And I very much believe in sometimes one friend needs more when something really major is going on. I certainly have benefited from that. But it's like where it starts to feel really crushing is like when that crisis sort of abates, or like when they are starting to get other support from therapists or family members, it's still this like expectation of just like all the energy in the friendship is me listening to them and helping them.
Yeah. I'm thinking of like all of my 20 something like friendships that were like, you know, there was this one person who like had this really toxic boyfriend and would talk about it with everybody. Mm-hmm. But it was like, as soon as you'd had your fill, they just moved on to someone else.
Yeah.
But this sounds a little different from that. This sounds like they have expectations of you that are almost like partnership type expectations.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that makes it really hard for me to figure out when and how to distance myself is they often say to me, you are the only person I feel like I can talk to about this. And I'm like, this is a really big deal. You need to have someone to talk to. So I feel a lot of
responsibility.
Like, I'm always like, I'm very honored that you're sharing this part of yourself with me. But it's also like, I do know I need to say earlier, like, I need you to find other people to talk to. So it's not just me, with varying levels of success. But like I nudge them towards therapy. I nudge them towards like, can you call your mom too? Like,
but even that's not your responsibility.
I agree.
Well, okay. So what's interesting about that is like, that's a real indicator that like, it sounds like when someone invites me out, but I don't really want to go, like the kid in me in high school who didn't get invited to things is like, I better go. like you might not get invited to something tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there is some like parallel to something of like you feeling a responsibility for these people. Like, is that like a part of your personality?
Yeah. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. I moved in my junior year of high school to another state and like it was really
a dumpster
hard
fire.
And weird. Yeah. It was really bad. It was like, I literally like ate my lunch in the bathroom, like in Mean Girls. Like it was very, it was rough. So I value my friendships a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And then I also like, we don't need to get too dark on this,
No, I'm just kidding.
I had this year in 2017 where like my entire life fell apart. Like I lost a sibling to suicide. My partner of 4 years walked out on my birthday. I was going through a cancer scare. My grandmother died. My mentor died. My father had a heart attack. Like, it was like literally everything except work, like completely just like disintegrated. And I had a few very close friends. Like, I was, my circle got very small and very supportive.
Yeah.
And so I'm conscious of, there is some part of me that's like, I need to give back, you know, like in the universal, like energetic deficit I feel like I'm in. But there also is like, it's not that I think I'm never going to be invited into someone's life again, like in that intimate way. But it's more like, I know what it's like to feel like everything's falling apart and to feel like you can only reach, like it's so limited and you're so just like stressed all the time and you don't have any resources. So I'm more conscious of that feeling for the other person of like, oh no, you're only talking to me. Like, I have to be available.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, cause that's certainly like, I think one of the things you said at the top was like that you're hoping to find red flags that come sooner. That would certainly be a marker.
Yeah.
Right. That would be a marker along the path. Just the idea that someone said you're the only person and then you feel this tug. Cause like at that moment, you're no longer operating on, I want to do this. There's a duty. So like, are there any indications, like if you like look at any of the friendships like earlier on that maybe you like didn't have choice and you were operating? Because I think that seems to be like what's underlying is that you're doing shit you don't want to necessarily do, but you're doing it out of guilt is what it sounds like.
Definitely obligation. And like, I think guilt and obligation are so
They're a little.
I'm trying to think. It's not. There are four different people that I point to as sort of being this story. And there's not a lot
that ties them together.
Yeah.
They live in like different states. They're around a decade and a half spread apart. Like, I met them in all different areas. So I don't, that's kind of why I'm here, right? Cause I'm like, well, I don't know what happens before. I agree with you that you're the only person I feel like I can talk to point
that
is
like,
so
ding,
clear
ding,
to be
ding,
like,
ding,
well,
ding.
If that's happening, and that I've already come up with a strategy for, which is like, that's too much. Like, I'll say that's too much responsibility for me.
Yeah.
That scares me, because what if I'm not available?
Or what if I don't have the words that can help you? That's
yeah.
too much.
Or just like problems need more than one person involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sort of try to like really strongly be like, I in this friendship need you to cultivate more than just me
yeah.
as a resource.
Which, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And by the way, because this is the other thing I want to say too, is like, that question in some ways, I realized after I asked it, is almost like putting the blame on you of like, what are you doing? You should see. And so I want to be clear that that's not what I mean with the question. I mean it more to be like, when we like, and I must have a million of these situations in my life where I all of a sudden show up and it already happened. Like for me, it's like, I need alone time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I, you know, this full life and family, and I don't notice that I need time alone until yeah. I'm past the point. I'm like, I've crossed over and now I'm being super mean to people. So that's like my flag of like, oh, I needed alone time 10 minutes before. So I'm trying to like, I'll use journaling as a way of trying
yeah.
to like see what's going on for me before. But it's like, it might be one of those things where I just get it when I get it. Like for whatever reason, that's not in my, I don't see myself in that way. Cause I think it's cause I'm always like, I gotta move.
Yeah.
It may be that you don't see things till after. And that's okay. But like, I do think that like journaling could be a source of like when things start to like there's got to be like little moments of like, that was funky, but I brushed it off, that are leading up to it. And I'm wondering, are there like little moments that maybe you brushed off leading up to it?
I think
there might not be.
I think so. What you're saying totally resonates, first of all, which is like, yes, we have a bunch of conversations and then 2 or 3 months in, I'm like, oh, I feel really drained by this. I feel like it's really, or there's like not space for me
yeah.
or like, oh, we've had, you know, 5 to 10 phone calls that were just all about the other person. And they didn't ask me about my life. Even like when you, I don't know, I feel like we all have done that thing where you're like, you're going through something major. You really need to unload on a friend. And then
yeah.
you're like, but how are you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just as the person goes, I got to jump. And then you're like, no, wait, but wait, we didn't talk about you. How are you doing?
Right, right,
and it's
right.
like, so it's so right. like me coming in and being like, do you need help with the dishes as you're drying the last one?
Right.
It's like,
right. Yeah, so like, there's
sorry,
not
Mary.
Even been like that. Little nod to like, I acknowledge you just absorbed a lot.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm going to talk for an hour and a half straight and then get off the phone. It's like, okay. But I think that when I'm feeling really worried about a friend and feeling like that's my primary motivator for talking to them, that might be something to pay attention to.
Yeah.
I was going to say like something that a therapist told me a million years ago was that like when you're they called it the shit barometer, but like when your barometer for like what's tolerable as like normalcy is so high, which like my family is really like hard and I have to take care of them a lot and blah, 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 or I feel like I have to. And so my like barometer of what's like acceptable for me to take on is like here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like I don't usually notice when someone new in my life is coming in and like adding stuff to my plate mm-hmm. until it is way too much for like, I'm going to use the word normal, but like an average friendship, a typical
yeah.
friendship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it sounds like, and I don't know you at all, but maybe your like shit barometer is also pretty high of like what is tolerable to take on as like your own worry. So like
responsibility.
Yeah. Responsibility.
Yeah. No, for sure. I've had a chaotic life for sure.
Welcome to the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you in part by Purina. Purina is dedicated to creating richer lives for pets and the people who love them. From helping older pets think like their younger selves to making cat ownership a possibility for more people than ever, Purina is helping pets thrive so they can live long, healthy, and happy lives. Purina has you covered for all your furry friends' needs, whether they meow or bark. From litter to treats to their best-in-class, nutrient-packed food with taste your pets will love, Purina's got your back at every stage of your pet's life. Your pet gives you the joy of the spring sunshine all year round. So today and every day, care for your pet with Purina. Your pet is Purina's passion. To learn more, head to amazon.com/Purina.
Is there work that you can do to free yourself up from what a friendship means or should mean? Right? Like, one of the things that I think, because I came from a chaotic like household, I think I thought every person had to be everything to me. And it took me a long time to realize that it's just not like that. Like, some of my very, very best friends, I would go to for certain things, but maybe not other things. And like, that's okay. And I will be there for like certain people. Like, I have a couple of friends who like, hopefully they're not listening, who need more from me than I'm able to give. And I struggle with the guilt around canceling or like keeping my word. And Mary's always like, you don't get this like crazy about keeping time with me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because I never want to let anyone down. I feel so strongly about it, but I'm trying to tackle that and be like, in the moment I'm trying to be like, okay. And this like just happened this weekend. It's not reasonable for me to see them right now. It's not reasonable. I have so much family obligations. There's some stuff going on with my kids. I had two auditions over the weekend. I had all this stuff. And it's like, it's not reasonable for me to try to carve out this amount of time for a get-together that we can do next week. But I have all this guilt because it's one of the people who has expectations of not changing things. And so I have to, in those moments, be like, this isn't my thing. This is her thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds like we're both coming at like a similar thing, but from a different place. Like, mine's the what mine's if I don't show up, what's going to happen? And yours is like,
I don't want them to
I
hate
should
me.
Be here. Like, does one of those resonate with you more?
It all resonates. I mean, the reason
she's like, I'm sitting in a bath of what you're saying.
Yes. I mean, you saying at the top that I am chill, I'm like, that's hilarious.
Like, you present chill though.
Thank you.
Which is, by the way, that could be like people could see you in a certain way too because of the way you present. Like,
yeah,
I present
do think
chill.
That's right. But I mean, that is why I thought this would be a good question to bring specifically here, which is that you're clearly people who like to give advice and like that people listen to and respect, like myself. So like, I was like, I do think you'll be able to relate to this question and have different perspectives on it. And what you're saying is like, absolutely spot on. I'm pretty anxious. I also grew up in a family with a very high expectation of particularly me emotionally supporting and in general supporting other people.
I mean, that's it right there.
Yeah.
We could almost be like, and thanks for coming today. Yeah. But like the through line is often very, very clear. And I think knowing it helps you in that recognition phase, like where some journaling might help of being like, because I would tell you, I would take each one of those four friendships and I would just write about each of them until you feel complete. Like, start with one and write about it. Write about the beginning. Write like how it ended. Write at some point later, write this is when it turned. Write about that moment.
Yeah.
And then do that for all of the friends and then look for similarities. Look and see what just like sit with it.
Yeah.
Because I think that might help the awareness piece. But I also think a little like, be kind to yourself could be in order here. Like, we need a prescription bottle that just says, be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
And we can hand it to people. But I think then there's that other side of it of just like, I would also journal or whether it be talk to someone, a therapist about like, how do you place friendships? Like, did those expectations that people had of you, do you carry them on people or do you carry them on yourself with people?
Yeah.
Which it's probably that.
Yeah.
you probably, like, you're the idea of how you were treated as a kid, like your parents and that expectation. You're just now doing it to yourself. And, like, some work has to be done so that you can let yourself let that go. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not your responsibility what Jenny says or does. And I love that you're saying that to them. I love that you're like, find some other people, bitch. Yeah. Like, I can't handle all this.
Yeah. I mean, it took me a lot to get to that point. But I think another piece or tool I'm hearing is, like, I do journal, but it's in this very, like, I just want to write a couple sentences every day thing. And then if I want to do more, I lean into it more. But I like the idea of being more conscious of, like, using that as a tool when this is happening. And I think what I need to also think about is, if they're not going to keep it in balance, I can pay more attention to the balance of how I'm feeling. Whereas, like, when I'm supporting someone else really intensely, I need to check in more on, like, how do I feel right now? How, like, am I really giving enough space for myself in this? Because, like, that person's not going to be able to do it because they're going through something major. And that's still important to me to be around for that. But maybe writing more about, am I worried enough about me? Am I listening to what I need?
Yeah. And the answer is probably not.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. I was trying to be kind there, Lydia. Yeah, I was like, it's definitely not.
Yeah. But, like, knowing that, I mean, I've done more thinking about this, and this conversation is very helpful. And knowing that I am more likely to lean farther into friendships where someone's hurting, and just being aware of that and pointing more energy at myself in that situation, rather than just being like, oh, I need to make sure I can talk to this person twice this week. Being like, okay, like, maybe I'll be more okay with slowing down the pace, or if I'm going to do that, make sure I'm really, like, scheduling and, like, the decompression time, like, whatever it is.
Well, and that's another great tool. And it leads me to another great tool, but then also, like, a thing underneath it. So, like, the other tool is communicating your boundaries more clearly. Being like, I can talk to you today, but I'm just letting you know I've got a crazy busy week. I probably won't be available until next week.
Yeah.
Whether that's true or not.
Yeah.
Because you know that you need to take care of yourself in that time. So communicating, like, by whens. Like, I think by whens are the most underrated, most important, valuable tool, whether it be work or personal.
Yeah.
So, like, if Mary and I are having a fight or something and she's like, can't figure it out, like, I say that with love. I mean, like, and now I have to say it better than that because I look like a total shitheel. But, like, it takes her sometimes longer to understand what she's feeling, and she would say that. So, like, I'll be like, okay, so maybe we don't talk about this now, but could we talk about it before the end of the weekend? Like, that's a great tool. It's a great tool for business. It's a great tool across the board. But it leads me to this question, which is, what are you getting out of this type of friendship? And, like, there is something that you – if there's, like, four of these instances in your life, like, it's a little bit like I'm always saying to my kids, like, if you're the center of the circle and all these teachers are talking about you, well, then it might be you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, and I say that, like, with love.
No, totally. I take it with,
like,
love.
If there's four of them, like, what's the connection? What are you being drawn to? Like, what are you trying to fix in them? Or is it just like you see somebody who's fallen and you just cannot help yourself? You must run over and you have to be the one to help. Or something totally different.
That's a good and big question. And I am going to go to school to be a therapist.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am. Which is something I've wanted since I was a very young person. Like, it occurred to me for the first time when I was, like, 14 or 15. So
there's just be, like, a really thoughtful, helpful person.
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy, like, it, I find it very fulfilling to hear how people think and feel and think about how they feel and process hard things. Like, that is something that is, I mean, I want that to be my career, right? So I'm like, I could do this for the rest of my life. So there is clearly some, and I'm like, I think, you know, whether it's nature, nurture, I am a helper. Like, yeah. That's a meaningful identity for me.
Yeah.
But a therapist
a therapist that they unload on.
Yes.
And a therapist, there's probably a more therapeutic term to say that, not that. But you know,
and a therapist gets paid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing is, like,
and there's distinct boundaries.
Right.
You're not going to talk about you. I'm here to help you. Right. Like, there's a lot in place for that to be safe.
I have this one friend who has a best friend who is what I would say emotionally abusive, but the advice I always give to her is, like, if this person is your friend, they should want what's healthy and best for you. Mm. So if you feel like the amount that you're absorbing for them is, like, taking away from you and, like, making you less healthy and you show up in your life less, I feel like there should be space in any relationship to be like, I actually need a break. Like, I'm, like, at capacity right now. Like, can we talk on Tuesday instead? Mm-hmm. Or whatever it is. And they should want that. Like, if someone responds with like anger or hostility or like,
that's a red flag.
Like, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah. But at that point, it's like, you know, you're already out past your, like, your sea legs. You're out too far. And I'm just, a lot of phrases got just jumbled in there together. But you're out in the deep end. You're out too far. And you might be starting to go under. Like you know that. Yes. And that's when they're just going to be mad at you. And you just have to be okay with it. But it would be great if you had a ability to be, like, modulating it leading up to that point. Yeah. So that it feels more like, so that they'll hear you. I suspect the boundaries would be really helpful for you if you are, like, messaging out what your capacity is.
Yeah.
But I think also you just said you're just like, I can handle it. And it's like, but it's at it's at the expense of you.
Yes. I should say, I have one of these four people I did very successfully. It was like, I need my turn. You know, I'm going to be doing this big thing, which is applying to grad school. And I need support right now. And in general, it needs to be more balanced. And she was like, rock and roll. And it's been amazing. And we're like the closest friends
I've
ever
had. That's fantastic.
But I'm like, I think that's more because she's just like, she's a very direct person. So being really direct with her, she was just like, got it. We're good. Like, no question. But like on the other side of the spectrum, this one friend, she was like, she wanted to break up with her horrible boyfriend for a year doing it, for like a crazy long time. And then I was out in the city where she lives and I'd been laid off like 3 days before the trip. Oof. And so she showed up where I was staying and just wanted to do
more,
like,
the ex-boyfriend
crying ex-boyfriend talk for hours and hours and hours. And I was just like, it was the holidays, which are always hard for me, which I'm very open about. And I was just like exhausted. And I just been
like, have a job.
I don't like, have, I just like, I literally like 3 days ago.
Lost it's my this turn. Job.
Yes. I was just at my breaking point and I just like very directly was like, this feels bad. You only talk about you. I'm really going through something and I don't have the energy to do this. And she was like, okay, like let's hang out tomorrow. Like I really want to see you and like make this feel good. And then she showed up and did it again. And I said the same thing again. And then, you know, a couple more chances over the course of a few months. And now I'm just like, I just don't want to talk to this person. Like she's not able to do it. And that feels bad too.
But here's the thing. If you had started having conversations with her, like, because that's part of like the journaling or the thinking about it, the meditating on what worked and what hasn't worked and what's different between those two so that you can like extrapolate what to do. Because it's like maybe if you had been direct with her going up, you would have seen right away, oh, she's not responding to this.
Yeah.
Or she's being shitty about the things that I'm saying. Then you might have slow faded out of the friendship a lot sooner before it became taxing on you. Like, we want to get it to the point that you aren't hitting emotionally or physically or taxed. We want to get it to the point where you're seeing the things and then you're, you know, and you're getting there. And I think so much of it's going to be awareness of behaviors and of whys.
Yeah. And like, clearly someone who needs to have the same conversation about breaking up with their boyfriend for 20 months is going to need
like an obsession.
To hear or like work through or process or like identify or like whatever it is. It's like, applying what I'm hearing from them to how I communicate with them might be better than me just being like, I'm going to do it the way I would do it, which is like hear it once, feel terrible about it and like stress that I've.
Because you need to think about the fact that for them, this is the first time they're hearing this.
Right.
For them, you're significantly shifting the playing field of your relationship.
Yeah.
Because you've been feeling away, but not saying anything. Maybe like subtly showing it. But these are people who aren't picking up on subtle cues.
Yeah.
So like out of nowhere, you went, you're this type of person and it's not good for me and see you later. And they're like, what the fuck? So it's like, if you can get in there ahead of time, like I always say, like, I love a clearing conversation with someone and I love what you did. And I think we should point it out. You had that clearing conversation. You were like, you do this, it's bothersome. And then the next day she came in and did it again. And now you're like, hey, I can point back to that clearing conversation. Here you are doing it again.
Yeah.
And so like, I think that that's a real indicator of, should I continue this friendship?
Yeah.
But without the conversations, without that, like you're playing baseball, they're playing rugby. Like you're playing totally different sports and you're both feeling like the rules are like, what's happening here?
Mm-hmm. I totally relate to that. And I am a person who can get really fired up about something and then like explode a little bit. Whereas I should definitely accept. I
should hold the mirror up a little bit more to making sure that it's not fair to them to not tell them how it's making me feel.
Yeah.
Before it becomes this, like, what's called, like, a line in the sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the distinction that's really important in this conversation, because I feel like sometimes when we're talking about things that we can look at, it can feel like victim blaming. It can feel like, well, what did you do? What did you do? When this is a person who's unloading on you 24/7. So I just want to make it really clear to anyone who's listening or watching that we are saying that this person has a problem and they are doing something. But it's like we always have the ability to steer around a person with a problem.
Sure.
People are shits and they're going to continue to be shits in the world. But like, how do I navigate
that? Protect
yourself. Yeah. Protect yourself, navigate it, not walk down the road too far. So I just want to be really clear. I never want you to be left or anyone listening to think that I'm like, well, here's what you should have done.
No. I mean, I'm very prone to thinking everything is my fault. But in this situation, I do think I have a really healthy sense of what you said before, which is like, if this has happened with four people over a course of 6 or 7 years, like, I am the common denominator and I can't be in anyone else's head but mine.
Yeah.
And that's.
And you only want your life to be a little better.
Yeah.
You're already making their lives better.
Well, what
but
I
you
want,
need and
yeah.
want to have be less emotionally exhausted and to have supportive friends, which
what
is
I
not
want
unfair.
For these friendships not to disappear. Like, it also is hard for me that I can't right the ship and make it work okay because, like, they were people. I feel close to them. I want these friends.
Yeah.
But it's the way it's going, the trajectory now of, like, I get really pulled in another direction, then try to pull it back and it doesn't work. And I just, like, I'm like, okay, it's not going to happen. That's not good either.
I don't want to, like, totally take us down another, like, track, but are you someone that responds right away when someone messages you about something?
Yes. I feel a sense, I'm working on it. We'll go with that.
That was the best answer ever.
Yeah, I think my immediate instinct is yes, but I'm cultivating a sense of, like, it's text messages don't, like, go bad. It can hang out. It's okay to just be like, yeah, I didn't have the energy for this.
I think there's, when you have a problem or something, there's like a sense of urgency that happens in the moment that you discover the problem. Then there's like a self-regulating that happens. Mm-hmm. But for the person that's like, let's say Jenny, since that's the name that
Jenny
we've come
from
up
the
with. I really hope one of the four was not named Jenny.
It wasn't.
But,
I had prepared fake names in my head in case we needed
that.
To get into
I love
it.
That.
But so Jenny and her boyfriend got into a fight and like she's like, I need to break up with him again, blah, blah, blah. Like she's feeling a sense of urgency in that moment and is probably messaging you or whoever the like one person that's helping her at that point. And I think after that moment, there should be a moment of self-regulating on Jenny's part. Like Jenny should be able to be like, okay, that was a really bad fight. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to write something down. I'm going to whatever. I'm going to reach out to my therapist, like all of these other things. And so sometimes creating some distance between the time that she reaches out and the time you respond allows her to do some of the work on her own before
really
you are
point.
Coming
that
in.
That is a really good point.
And regardless, like even if they don't do any of the work on their own, they're at least not using you as the crutch. Because like, they will have to find, like, even if you don't have the tools to self-regulate, like, they will find someone else then.
Yeah, they'll move
to
it along.
Help them get, like, words of affirmation or whatever they're needing.
Yeah.
But the other thing that occurs to me, I think, is, like, thinking about it being okay to let friends go.
Yeah.
You've ruminated. You've thought about it. You've meditated. You've journaled. You have become aware as things have gone. You've set your boundaries. And some people are not going to be, like, there's people that, what is the season or a reason? People are going to come in and they maybe there was a time and place, like that person who you worked with.
Yeah.
And it's like, but imagine if you took that friendship and you backed it out and you look at it for if along the way you had been writing about this person and being like, well, that felt weird. I don't like it. And then you started to set boundaries. Like maybe while you were working, you would have distanced yourself from them and been like, this is a coworker. I know that when I do this, they bring this out in me. But just starting to put some of the power back in your hands versus a reactive state of like, I need to help them. I need to this. Like it's all of that is about them. None of it is about you. I always think of like if you're in a job interview, instead of being like, I hope they love me, being like, I'm going to see if I love you. And I think you could use a little of that, of like, yeah. I'm going to see if you are worthy of all of the time that I'm willing to give. And if you're not, it's really okay for me to just be like, I'm slow fading you. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to like make some big declaration, but I can just like slowly not respond to you and move it along.
Yeah. I have a very healthy sense of that in terms of, you know, there are friends that you are close to because you're in the same situation. Like, yeah. I lived in a women's co-op in college. I'm close to a few people, but when we, you know, when we all lived together, it was like, it was, yeah. we were really in each other's,
braiding each other's hair.
Literally. I know. But I'm very comfortable with just like, I'm not going to be close to 25 people in the way that I was when we lived in one building.
Yeah, it's not possible.
And when I hear news about their lives, I'm like, good for you. But it's not that I like miss or crave that. I'm like, I have a very healthy sense of that was college and it was this special time. And I really value that for that period. But I haven't applied it as much to what you're saying of like, is it just not gonna work? Like it's,
yeah,
it's
just, everything yeah. isn't forever.
But I will say it's like hard to do that when you get in so close and then yeah. you're someone's support system yes. because then, you know, like I have friendships that I've been like super, super close with someone for a year. And then for 2 years, we're not super close. And yeah. then maybe 6 months, we're close again. And, yeah. you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's hard to have that relationship where it's not like a loss of a friendship, but just like a less, like a bit more distant friendship.
Yeah.
When it's so like entangled, like your lives are so entangled. Yeah. You're their support person, like blah, blah, blah.
You're then
like
you deep in.
You have to have that moment.
No, that's absolutely.
Like, we're breaking up kind of like, yeah. you know, whereas like yeah. if it's less tangled,
yeah.
you can just create more and more distance over time. And then ideally you keep the friendship, but it just becomes a different friendship, like yeah. a different mm-hmm. level of friendship or something.
Yeah. It's this thing of like, I don't want to get to this point that I've gotten to where yeah. I need to fade away in a way that feels sudden, no matter how slowly I do it.
Yeah.
They're like, but wait, but we were close.
But I think this is what's so interesting about this kind of like a discussion or problem is that it is a holistic thing.
Yeah.
It's not just like, well, just stop drinking. It's not like that. It's like there's a bunch of little things that will probably be helpful. Some of it explorative for you. Some of it, you know, testing things out and asserting yourself a little more, setting like more care around yourself. There's like just like a lot of little things. And all it's going to do is just make it a little bit better. Like maybe you won't end up there. Doesn't mean you won't come across those types of people, but you may not be drawn to it in the way that you mm-hmm. have been to yeah. this point.
No, I clearly have like yeah. a catnip relationship oh. to this. Like I'm like, oh, your life's messed up.
We created an entire
like-
podcast around it. We're like, then what happened? No, you know, so it's like, but that doesn't have to be a bad thing. You're a helper. Like yeah. you're going to go to school to be a helper.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I think that there's like lots here for you to look at mm-hmm. and for you to kind of like do. But it's like, to me, it sounds like what's amazing is you're already on the path. You like have an awareness about it, which is always the best place to be because you then you can see some of it and you can start the work.
Yeah.
And you're a great friend, obviously.
Yeah.
So like at the very least you can like, I don't know, self-soothe knowing that. Like yeah. anytime you're like worried, if I don't show up for this person like this or something, or if you feel guilty, like just remind yourself of that. Like you're obviously a very good friend and you want to be there for people. So they probably see that and recognize that too. Or if they yeah. don't, they suck. And yeah. that's that.
And bye. Yeah, I hope so. I hope they notice. I think in general, like on the whole, my friends let me know that a lot. It's this little subset that's yeah. just like, I'm going to take everything.
My old boss used to say, everywhere you go, there's going to be a Jenny. Like, meaning, like, we're all archetypes. And it's like that micromanager at work, you might be able to leave Jenny at Microsoft, but then you're going to go over to Google and there's going to be another yeah. Jenny, but her name's going to be Tina. We were discussing a previous friendship that I had that I no longer have, and I was being gaslit. And one of the things I had to look at was, like, do I get this feedback from other people? Mm-hmm. And the answer is absolutely not. Did I get that feedback in my workplace? Did I get that feedback, that, you know, in my relationships? And no, but I still got taken on the ride.
Yeah.
For a lot more time. Like, I'm still like, aren't I more aware than that? Like, I stayed way too long. And I think we all, like, especially fixers, have the capacity sometimes to stay. That's your ship barometer. Of like, yeah. well, I'm not being murdered. Yeah. You know, it's like, yes. well, it's like, is that
not
really?
The,
yeah, exactly. No, but I don't need surgery, you yeah, know? So yeah, it's yeah, like, totally. But that can't be, or I guess it can be, but it's not how I want to live.
Yeah.
Like, because it sounds like the toll is your emotional and like, you know, like your feelings in a day-to-day. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, that hits. Because a lot of times in these conversations, one of the pieces of advice I give is like, if everyone in your life is saying the same thing, they're probably right. And I think what you're saying is like the opposite's true too. If this is the only time this is happening, or this is the only person saying this, it's probably not true.
Yeah. And that's a great way to look at it. Like, oh, it's okay for me to step away from this.
Yeah.
This is not normal and I don't have to do this.
Yeah. I think taking on the idea that it's not about, like it is about me and that I keep doing it, but
you keep showing up.
I keep showing up for, yeah. I keep being the person that this person finds who's willing and able to do this.
Hello. You pick up the phone every time they call.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
But it is like everything. It's all what it takes to tango, right? Yeah. For everything.
Yeah. I participate in the establishment of an emotional pattern and then they see that as what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you've shown me over the course of years and months in this very intense situation that I can come to you for this. And like, yeah, of course it's going to take some more work to unprogram that.
Yeah.
But also, I really am interested in not getting into that to begin
with. Yeah, I think that's the thing. Not getting into it is the key. But then when you do get into it, how do you extricate yourself and how do you, when you feel that type of person, like, are there like test balloons you can kind of send out that's like, hey, this Tuesday, I'd like to come over. I had a situation at work and I would like to just talk about that. Is that, can we do that? And then like, maybe there's some testers you can send out to see how this person reacts if you're starting to feel and you're unsure. And if you get over there, they'll absolutely get over there. There's popcorn, there's cheese and crackers. I got a whole scenario in my head.
Oh, you better bring snacks.
However, they are like, start talking about the ex-boyfriend, then you go, okay.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm here.
Yeah.
And now I have to, like, you can start, you know, just like I always say, if we're talking about the workplace, I don't ever say to someone, well, you better go right to HR. The first conversation has to be with the boss who's doing the thing.
Yeah.
And you have to give them the opportunity to do better.
Yeah.
So you give them the opportunity to do better.
Yeah.
They don't. Well, then it's like, okay, what's this team exit plan?
And another test balloon is creating that distance. So like I'm not going to respond to this text for 4 hours instead of responding right away. Like you do have other shit going on in your life. That is reasonable.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely. That's such a simple and great bit of advice.
And it works like practical. I think a lot of people don't respond to texts immediately. So like it's not even weird. But I think probably in this room it is weird because we're all
I only do a text because like I'm like an 85-year-old with text. Like if I read it and then I close it, I don't see it ever again. And then I'm like, oh shit.
Do you not know how to mark them unread, Robin?
It's just too much work.
Okay.
Like, it's just, I'm not that old, Libby. I'm like old, but not, it's just too much work. It's not my preferred platform.
No, I hear
like,
you.
And it's like, and then I feel like the weight of like, oh, I sent it and she might be sleeping. It's too much for me. And then I wait. And then if I wait, I've moved on.
Even hearing you say that really makes me think of like, what if a person is reaching out to me for this kind of support, like very early being like, this is something I know that I do. Like, I want to be here for you, but I know about myself that I let this get out of balance and then it can get like, you know, like resentment comes in and like your friendship is important to me and supporting you is important to me, but I need to let you know that I'm going to be working against this.
Yeah.
And like,
imagine
that alone is like a litmus test for like, is this person going to be someone who works with me?
Okay. Can you and imagine like you if you're like able to do that right out of the gate?
Yeah.
And also I just was thinking about Patricia, who was one of our experts of the day in multiple episodes, season 1, season 2, my former therapist. At like one of our first like meetings, I said something to her and she goes, oh, okay. She goes, you're telling me who you are. And I was just like, I had never heard that before. And I was like, oh shit, I guess I was like telegraphing who I am. And I think that those people and you at the same time are unconsciously telegraphing, like they're sending out test balloons of like, let me drop this in her lap and see how much she listens and how much she does. And then you are answering. And it is slowly but surely defining your relationship. So imagine like if you were able to like tell them something different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and not, I mean, I'm maybe too direct in my friendships. I'm just not subtle being like, hey, like I'm gonna have this propensity to do this. And I also need to know that you're also gonna be on the lookout for it if I'm gonna support you like this.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So we solved it.
Well, I feel like
this has been so like so helpful. I came in being like, I don't know if there's an answer.
Like,
By the way, every really, time really before useful. We hit record, I'm always like, I don't know if there's an answer. Let's just see what happens. But I think that this is so, I'm so glad that you reached out. I'm so glad that you wanted to be on the show, because it's like, there's really something in that same former therapist, Patricia, said, you guys have created this thing that's sort of like almost like a unique and new group therapy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, every episode, we're always like, that was so helpful to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because everyone's in an honest place of saying, I don't know for sure, but have we thought about this? Yeah. And so this has just been such a cool conversation to kind of just like pick it apart and just look at, oh, here's all the ways that I'm not taking care of myself and I'm pushing boundaries and letting someone else push me.
Mm-hmm. And just like the broad range of practical everyday, like just like maybe don't answer that text to like journal and introspect and like it's, there's so many tools I feel like I've taken away from this. I'm going to go write my journal about it.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys.
I just want to say thank you so much for reaching out. Every listener who wants to be on the show should reach out to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, just thank you so much for bringing this to us. And it's been a lovely, lovely chat.
Thank you so much, both of you.
I love that you were like really down great. To do video. It's like, I love you were this. I was like,
I love that you showed up with hair color and we are like weirdly matching.
I know.
Like, Robin missed the memo.
I know. I was like, where am I? I almost wore something in the. That was such a great conversation. I can't speak for you, Steph, but like friendships are such a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, my closest friends have been around way longer than my wife. So shout out to all these people for hanging in and hanging out with me for that long. But as we were talking about all these things, like I was thinking about what are some of the, you know, friendship fails or troubles that we've hit, you know, things like that. And then I want to follow that up with you. Go first, Steph. Go.
I mean, I don't know if this is like a friendship fail or not, but it was a moment that I had that was like kind of similar to like, I think what Libby's having right now, which is like, I broke my leg super, super badly and needed to get immediate surgery. And I was like, fuck, what do I do? Like, I live alone. Like, I couldn't do anything for myself. And I was like very medicated and I had to get surgery. So I, you know,
I was very medicated.
Yeah. My best friend like came down from Toronto to like help with my surgery. Thank you, Nikki. And then two of my friends here like really stepped up. And of course, I don't expect all my friends to step up in the way that those three did. But I did expect like a level of like, you know, checking in on me or like,
you okay?
How are you doing? Or like, you know, however you want to show up. And I did notice some people just like really didn't show up at all.
Like just didn't say a word, nothing.
Maybe checked in one time, but I was like bed rest for 3 months. And there were some people that just like, I never saw them. They never like called or FaceTimed me or texted.
Are you still friends with them now?
No. I mean, I didn't think about it during that 3 months, but after I was like reflecting and I was like, I haven't seen them in like this amount of time. And there was like a very clear moment for me where I was like, oh, okay, these people maybe don't care about me in the way that I care about them.
Yeah. It's like a restructuring of like the setup in your mind.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you never are their friend again, but just they're not who you think they are to you.
I put them into like my party friend category or my like hangout friend category. They're like acquaintances. They're not like a take me out of prison.
It's a reframe. Mm-hmm. Well, I can think of like two stories. Like one, I was in absolute shit and it was in high school. I wrote about it in Substack and I'll tag that in the show notes. But I was so insecure at that age and I was so desperate to be liked and was talking to this girl about, and she was like, we should just be like, fuck those popular kids. And I was like, absolutely. And I was so happy to have a friend. And then one of the popular girls said something either about her or, and it was like my moment to, and I didn't, I either said something also, or I, you know, applauded it or whatever I did. And then I turned around and she was standing behind me.
No.
And it's like, I will. Yeah, no. And I've apologized to her as an adult and she's, you know, said a really nice thing that she took my story that I had written and shared it with like students and said, you know, who you are in high school doesn't have to be who you are as an adult. It was just like one of those moments that I was like, oh, like I was the worst fucking person ever. But, you know, then I also had a relationship, you know, where I was gaslit 24/7 and this person treated me the way that no one has ever in my life. And I really allowed it for quite a number of years, which I was surprised by. And it's just, I'll never speak to them again. It was so toxic. Mm. Like just never, you know, and I don't have. Yeah, thank you. I mean, but what makes me feel better about it, though, is that I've never had that interaction with anyone before or since like that. So I'm like, I can let go of it and be like, oh, this isn't about me.
This has nothing to do with me, and I have good people in my life. But it is just like,
I love that you're like, this friendship was super toxic and like blah blah blah. And then on the other side, you're like, and I blame myself.
I know, right? But it's when someone's gaslighting you, you really can get into a space where you're like, maybe it's me, maybe they're right. Because there's always like a hint of truth in what they say,
for sure. I think.
And they blow it up.
Yeah.
I'll be like, okay, well, you are pointing out things that maybe these aren't my best qualities. Mm-hmm. So let me do work on that.
How nice would it have been, though, if you like did those learnings on yourself, but it was like framed from a positive point, right? Like it was like, you know, me being like, hey, Robin, like you're the best, blah, blah, blah. I've noticed this little thing is happening. Like, can I support you while you work on that as your friend? Then you would be like in such a better place when you were working on those things, and it would be so nice. So I think there's like,
yes, that would have been a different experience. I don't need to do it in a toxic and traumatic way any longer.
Yeah.
But it was a moment for me to understand like, okay, so there's a little more growth to be done in this about not letting people in that way. They are long-term relationships, and it's important to be able to say, I have to work on this in the same way I would work on any romantic partnership.
Yeah. I love that. Oof. That's how I treat all my friendships.
So much work. So much work.
But also it's fun.
Okay, friends. Well, that is it for today. I want to thank Libby so much, one, for listening to the podcast and then reaching out and saying you want to be on it.
Yes.
If you are listening and you're like, I've got a little thing and I'd like Steph and Robin to help me pick it apart, for God's sakes, reach out to us on the socials or...
Or you can email us at hello@editaud.io. So editaud.io.
And thank you, Libby, for not just listening and reaching out, but for opening up your life and letting us be a part of it.
And for also showing up to a recording with like very cool hair color, just like me.
For more Robin, and you may need that, you probably don't need it, but like if you do, you can follow me at Real Rob Hops on all the platforms, all the socials, as the kids today say.
Well Adjusting is an Edit Audio original series. It's exec produced by Steph Colburn and Robin Hopkins. Our producer and editor is Maria Passingham, and our production manager is Kathleen Speckert. Thank you to the entire Edit Audio team and to you for listening. Oh, hey, before you take out those AirPods, this show is just for entertainment. If you are in need of help, please, please, please reach out to a professional. Go ahead and get that help. You deserve it. Hi, friends. Okay, if you love the show, and I mean, I think you do because you're listening, right? Okay, let's be real. Well, then I want to let you know about another show that is in the Edit Audio Network that you should add to your listening queue. It is called Rebound Revolution. Oh my God, I love it so much. First of all, it's hosted by my friend, my pal, Dr. Money McEachern, and it's a women's basketball podcast that is as much about queer feminism, fashion, and social justice as it is about what happens on the court. And even if you have, like, let's just say zero idea about basketball, that's okay. Dr. Money is here to be your guide. There's even a segment that is dedicated to giving you the lingo to help you the next time that you have to, you know, pretend to know something about basketball at a social event. What more could you ask for? So here's what I got to say to you folks. Listen and follow Rebound Revolution wherever you get your podcasts. You will not regret it.